بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In this lesson we come to the 28th and the 29th ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah. As usual, we'll begin, we'll recite together, inshallah, after me. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Kayfa takfuruna billah.
Kayfa takfuruna billah.
Wa kuntum amwatan fa'ahyakum.
Wa kuntum amwatan fa'ahyakum.
ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم ثم إليه ترجعون
هو الذي خلق لكم
ما في الأرض جميعا ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات وهو بكل شيء عليم. In the previous ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He addresses those people who disbelieve. Or before that, He addressed all of the people. He said, Ya ayyuhan nasu ubudu rabbakum. And we discussed these ayat. O people, O mankind, worship your Lord. And then Allah mentioned reasons why they should worship Allah alone. Because He created us and He created those who came before us. He created the earth for us as a flat bed. He created the skies above us. He sends water from the skies and so on and so forth. And then Allah mentioned the punishment of those who doubt and disbelieve. And by saying, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَى عَبْدِنَا. If you are in any doubt regarding that which we have revealed to our worshipper. And then He mentioned the punishment. And then after that, Allah Jalla fil Ula, He mentioned the reward of those people who believe. He said, وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And give the glad tidings to those people who have iman and do righteous deeds. And then He mentioned the reward which we discussed in the previous lessons. And then finally, in the last lesson, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He once again, He addressed the people by saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي أَن يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا. That Allah is not shy from setting forth an example or a parable, even if it is a ba'udha. And a ba'udha is a mosquito. As for those who believe, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. As for those who believe, then they know it is the truth from their Lord. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And as for those who disbelieve, فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. Then they will say, what does Allah want with this parable, or what does Allah want with this example? Allah says, يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Then many people are misguided because of the parables or the ayat of the Quran. Meaning, because they already have a disease in their heart, when they read the ayat of the Quran, it doesn't take them towards guidance. It takes them towards misguidance. وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. However, the people of Iman, then they are guided by the ayat of the Quran. وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. And the people who are misguided by the ayat or by the parables are the people of fisq. And here fisq, it means al-kufr. So it isn't the ayat of the Quran which misguides people, it isn't the Quran which misguides people, but it is the state of the hearts of the people. If they have iman, then they are guided and their iman increases upon their iman. And if their hearts are diseased and they reject the truth, then even though they recite the ayat, their misguidance, it increases upon their misguidance. Who are the fasiqeen? الَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ أَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ. They are those who break the covenant or the promise with Allah after it has been set, i.e. of tawheed and worshipping Allah alone. وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلْ. And they break that which Allah has ordered to be joined, i.e. the ties of kinship. Allah ordered for the ties of kinship and the family relations to be joined. The fasiqeen are those people who break and they cut the ties of kinship. وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And they cause fasad upon the earth. And we mentioned in the previous lesson that fasad, corruption, it is two types. There is the major corruption, and that is the corruption of kufr and nifaq. And then there is the minor corruption. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. And they are the ones who will be at loss. And all of this, بِتَوْفِيقِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, it was covered in the previous lesson. In this lesson, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He asks the people, and He specifically asks the people of disbelief, He puts forward to them a question, but this question, it is like a rhetorical question. Or this question is a question in which Allah is showing His anger at the people. Because in Arabic, there are different types of istifham. And istifham means question, like in English as well. So there is a proper question in which you require an answer. Then you have a rhetorical question in which you know the answer already, but you're asking it just to make a point. And also in Arabic, there are different types of istifham, different types of questioning. And one of the types of questioning is when a question is asked in order to rebuke somebody. Like for example, you find a Muslim and let's say he doesn't pray. And you say to him, you don't pray and you're a Muslim? Even though you've asked a question, you don't intend an answer. What you intend is a rebuke. You're rebuking him. How can you be a Muslim and yet you don't pray? So that is a question in which a rebuke is intended. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this ayah. كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ. How do you disbelieve in Allah? وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا. And you were dead. فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. And then He gave you life. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ. And then He will give you death again. ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ. And then He will give you life again. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And you will return back to Him. And then you will return back to Him. The author, Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimullah, he said in his tafsir, هذا استفهام بمعنى التعجب والتوبيخ والإنكار. That this is a question, but what is intended behind this question is a تعجب, meaning a state of amazement, you know, wondering how can people possibly disbelieve in Allah, and yet they know that it is Allah who created them, and Allah will give them death again, and He will resurrect them. And also, التوبيخ والإنكار. And the meaning of التوبيخ is to rebuke somebody or to say something against somebody. So it's as if Allah is saying that how does kufr, how does disbelief occur from you, O munafiqun, O disbelievers, and you know that you were initially dead. He said, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا. You were mayyit, you were dead. And the meaning of كُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا, that you were dead or deceased, is you are nothing. So here the meaning of dead means you are nothing. And just as when a person dies after life, he goes to nothing, his body goes to nothing, then just like this, before life, a person is nothing. So the meaning here of كُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا, you are amwat, i.e. you were non-existent, you didn't exist. And then ثُمَّ يُحِيكُمْ, and then he gives you life, meaning then that drop of semen or sperm, it then becomes a living being. After being non-existent, it becomes existent. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ, and then once again, finally, after this life, Allah will give you death. ثُمَّ يُحِيكُمْ, and then after this death, there is life once again, and this is the life of the resurrection. Al-ba'ath ba'd al-mawt. The resurrection after death. ثم إليه ترجعون, and then after this you will return to Allah. And this is like Allah said in another ayah, هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا. That did a time ever come upon a man in which he was nothing which was mentioned, meaning he was non-existent, and then Allah brought him to existence. And in another ayah, Allah mentions in the Quran that people will say, رَبَّنَا أَمَتَّنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ وَأَحْيَيْتَنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ. O our Lord, you gave us death twice and you gave us life twice. And Ibn Kathir rahimullah, he mentions that this ayah, you gave us death twice and you gave us life twice, it refers to this ayah. Just as Allah said, how do you disbelieve in Allah and you were dead, and then we gave you life, and then you were dead again, and then we give you life again. So he mentions two deaths and he mentions two lives. And this is what the other ayah refers to. Some of the ulama mention that why did Allah call non-existence death? When Allah said, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا. How do you disbelieve in Allah and you were amwat, you were dead? And it means non-existent. So why did Allah call non-existence, why did He call it death? Some of the Mufassirun mention that just as you were created from clay and dust and from the earth, before existence you were that, then after existence your body will go back to clay and dust and earth. And some of the Mufassirun mention that just as after life you don't feel anything, once you die your senses and your feelings, it finishes, then also when you were a droplet of sperm, then you didn't feel anything and you had no senses. And that is the resemblance between the two deaths. Or you started with non-existence, then after your body decays, your body will go back to non-existence. And this is why Allah called non-existence, He called it death. So Allah says, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ. How do you disbelieve in Allah? How is it possible, O kuffar, for you to disbelieve in Allah and you know that you didn't used to exist? And then after your non-existence, Allah gave you existence and He gave you life and He blessed you with many blessings in this life. And then after this life, He will give you death once more. And after the death, He will resurrect you once more. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And then you will return to Him. And in that return to Him, you will be held accountable. So for all the good deeds you used to do, you'll be rewarded, and for all the sins you used to do, then you will be punished. And therefore, disbelief, despite all of these things, that you were non-existent, Allah gave you life, and then He gives you death again, and then He will give you life again. Disbelief after this, it is foolishness and it is ignorance. And that which is upon you is to show shukr to Allah and to believe in Allah and to fear His punishment and to hope in His reward. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the person and the creation of the person, the fact that He gives life and death, then He mentioned the creation of other things. So the first evidence Allah uses against the people is themselves. That you yourselves, you are nothing, and then Allah gave you life, and then you'll become nothing again, then Allah will give you life, and to Him you will return. So this is the first evidence against the kuffar. In the next ayah, Allah uses another evidence, and this is that which is around us. Allah says in the next ayah, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. That it is He, Allah, who created for you all of that which is in the earth. So this is now a second evidence against the kuffar. The first evidence is your own existence and your own creation and your own body. The second evidence is that which is around you. So it's as if Allah is saying, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ. How do you disbelieve in Allah, and yet He is the one who has created all of the earth for you? This ayah here, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. He is the one who has created the earth, all of it for you. This is an evidence of fiqh. And as the author mentions, he says, في هذه الآية الكريمة, that in this noble ayah, دليل على أن الأصل في الأشياء الإباحة والطهارة. That this ayah, it contains the evidence that the default ruling with everything that grows from this earth, that it is allowed. Meaning, if for example, you go to a faraway land, let's say to a land you've never been before, and you see a tree, and you've never seen this tree before, and then you see something hanging from this tree, this vegetation, this fruit, is it halal or is it haram? What is the default ruling? We say the default ruling is that it is halal, until you can prove otherwise that it is haram. So everything upon this earth is allowed for us, as long as there is no evidence saying that it is haram. And this principle, people, they don't understand. And that is that when it comes to dunya related affairs, then everything is halal for us, and you have to show me an evidence that it is haram. So something relating to the dunya, to the worldly living, nothing relating to the religion, eating and drinking and things like that, even trading and buying and selling, you can't come to me and you say to me, what is your evidence that this thing is halal? Because we have a general evidence in which Allah said, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا, that He is the one who has created everything upon the earth for you. And when He says لَكُمْ, for you, then this is عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْإِمْتِنَانِ, that Allah, as a favor and as a blessing, He has created everything in the earth for you, meaning halal for you, in order for you to eat from and enjoy and use. So to ask, what is your evidence that this thing is halal? That's a wrong question. You have to ask, what is your evidence that it is haram? Because the default ruling is everything upon this earth is halal. But when it comes to the religion, then the opposite is true. In the religion, everything is haram until you bring an evidence to show that it is from the religion. So, and this is why the people of innovation, they make a mistake when they say, but show us an ayah in the Quran in which Allah says that the maulid is haram. Show us an ayah in the Quran. And they haven't understood that as for the dunya, then that applies. In the dunya, I can say to you, show me an ayah when Allah says it is haram. But as for the religion, you have to bring an evidence that it is legislated. Otherwise, it isn't allowed and it is not legislated. So this is the difference between matters of the dunya and matters of worship or matters of the religion. So when it comes to plantation and that which occurs naturally, everything is allowed for us. Then certain things have been made haram as an exception. So for example, grape is allowed. Grapes, we're allowed to eat grapes. We're allowed to drink grape juice. But then there was an exception, that if you allow that grape juice to ferment too much and it becomes alcohol, now alcohol is haram. And that is the exception, that is not the general rule. So in the dunya, everything is halal for us because of this ayah, unless an evidence comes making it haram. And this is in opposite to that which is in the religion. Allah says, how do you disbelieve in Allah and He has created for you everything in the earth for you, as a favor upon you, as a blessing for you, in order for you to eat from, to use? How do you disbelieve in Allah? ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ, and then Allah, He intended the skies. Meaning, after Allah had created the earth, then He created the skies. And this is an evidence that in the creation of creation, the earth was created first, and then the skies were created after the earth. And this is what Ibn Kathir rahimullah, he mentions. And the meaning of istawa, the word istawa, it has three different meanings. Istawa, it can mean for something to become complete and perfect. That is one of the meanings of istawa. And that is when there is no harfu jar after istawa. Meaning, Allah says in the Quran regarding Musa alayhi salam, He said, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى, that when Musa alayhi salam, when he reached maturity and he perfected or he became strong. So here the meaning of istawa is something to be completed or perfected or reach a pinnacle. And then istawa can also mean for something to physically go on top of something else, or for something to physically go over something else. And if in the Quran you find the word ala after the word istawa, then this is what it means. So if istawa is mentioned and then the next word is ala, then it means that something, it went over something else. Like Allah said in the Quran, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. So here istawa is mentioned with ala, and it means the most merciful, he rose above the throne. And then the third meaning of istawa is to intend something to do it next. And that is if the word ila is used. Like Allah said in this ayah, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. And then he intended to create the skies next. So istawa, it has three different meanings according to the type of ayah. If istawa comes on its own, then it means for something to be perfected or completed. If istawa comes with ala, it means to rise above or to go above something. And if istawa comes with ila, then it means to intend to do something next or to do something after it. So in this ayah, the meaning of ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ is that after Allah had created the earth, then he turned towards the sky and he created the skies. And then Allah said, وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And that Allah, he has complete knowledge regarding everything, i.e. the creation of Allah, of the people, Allah has complete knowledge regarding it. And the creation of the earth that Allah created, he has complete knowledge regarding it. And the creation of the skies, which Allah mentioned in this ayah, he has complete knowledge regarding it. Like Allah said, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does Allah not know of that which he has created? And he is اللطيف الخبير. He is the one who is subtle, and he is the one who is well informed. So in both of these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions two evidences against the people of disbelief in order to rebuke them and to show that that which they are doing, to show that their disbelief is illogical. The first evidence is the creation of themselves. That your creation as a human being from non-existence to existence, and then to non-existence, i.e. death once again, and then resurrection. This is the first evidence against kufr. And then the second evidence Allah uses against them is that which is around them. The creation of the earth and everything that you see upon the earth, the blessings and the favors that Allah has given you upon this earth, that he has made it all for you. And then also the creation of the skies. And then he mentioned that Allah has complete knowledge over everything. And since we mentioned in this ayah the issue of al-istawa, the meaning of al-istawa, that has three meanings, and one of the meanings of al-istawa is that Allah is above the throne. Allah is above the heavens and Allah is above the thrones. The correct belief with regards to Allah, that Allah is, there's two things which are mentioned in the Quran. Sometimes Allah mentions that he is above, and sometimes Allah mentions that he is with. And these are two different matters. One is ma'iyya, that Allah is ma'a, and ma'a means with. And the other one is fawqiyya, that Allah is fawq, i.e. he is above. The correct belief is that we say Allah is above the creation, and he is above the heavens, and he is above the throne in his that. So in the essence of Allah, in the that of Allah, Allah is above his throne. And we say that in his knowledge, and his victory, and his hearing, and his seeing, and his knowledge, and the rest of the attributes of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Allah is with creation. And any ayah that you find in the Quran in which fawqiyyah is mentioned, Allah being above, then it refers to his that. That he is above, in his essence, he is above the heavens and the earth and above the throne. And any ayah in which Allah mentions that he is with the creation, i.e. he is with the creation in his hearing and his seeing and his victory and his knowledge and so on and so forth. So Allah is above the throne in his that, and he's with the creation in his attributes of ar-rububiyyah. There are, of course, many evidences in the Quran and the Sunnah, and also the statements of the Salaf, which prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is above the throne. There are at least 20 ayat in the Quran in which Allah establishes that he is above the throne. And there are also many, many ahadith, authentic ahadith, which prove that Allah is above the heavens. And then there is also ijma'. And ijma' is the complete agreement of all of the Salaf and the Sahaba that Allah is above the throne. So nobody from the first three generations of the Imams of Islam ever said that Allah is everywhere and He is not above the throne. The first people to say that were the people of innovation. So I'll mention two or three ayat in which Allah mentions that He is above the throne, and one or two hadith, and also one or two statements of the Salaf. Firstly, Allah said in Surah An-Nahl, يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ, that they fear their Lords from above them. They fear their Lord, they fear Allah, مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ, and He is above them. So this shows that Allah is above. Allah said in the Quran, in the Surah which all of you know, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى, glory be to the name of your Lord who is A'la. And A'la or A'la means above and over. Allah said in Surah Al-An'am, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ, that Allah is Al-Qahir, the one who subjugates, and He is فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ, He is above His worshippers. And also Allah said, الرحمن على الأرش استوى, the most merciful, he rose above the throne. Also Fir'aun and Haman. Fir'aun, the tyrannical ruler, and Haman was his minister. And Fir'aun said, Allah tells us in Surah Ghafir, وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْن, Fir'aun said, يَا هَامَان, O هَامَان, إِبْنِ لِي صَرْحًا لَعَلِّي أَبْلُغُ الْأَسْبَابِ أَسْبَابَ السَّمَاوَاتِ فَأَطَّلِعُوا إِلَىٰ إِلَهِ مُوسَى. Fir'aun said to Haman, O Haman, build for me a staircase or a ladder so I can look up. I can look up to the heavens and I can see the Lord of Musa alayhi salam. So even Fir'aun, even he used to believe that Allah is above. For this reason he said to Haman, and it was of course in a type of mocking, that build for me a ladder or a stair so I can see above the heavens and see where this Lord of Musa is. Because he knew that Allah, the true Rabb, Rabbu Samawati wal Ard, He is above the heavens and He is above the earth. From the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, when Dhul Khuwaisara, the first of the Khawarij, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I'dil ya Muhammad, be just, O Muhammad. And the Prophet said to him, Ala ta'manuni wa ana aminu man fi sama, do you not trust me and I am trusted by the one who is above the heavens? So here is an evidence that Allah is above the heavens. And also when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he asked the slave girl, he said, Ain Allah, where is Allah? And the slave girl said, or she pointed upwards and she said, Fi sama. She pointed with a finger upwards and she said, He is above the heavens. And that hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Also, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was taking on Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, and the five daily prayers were obligated. The meaning of Mi'raj or Uruj is to be taken up. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was taken up towards the heavens because Allah is above the throne. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the last farewell sermon that he gave, he would say to the people something and then he would look up towards the sky and he would say, Allahumma hal ballaght, O Allah, bear witness, I have conveyed the message. And he would look upwards and he would point upwards. And many other ahadith, like for example, after the wudu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to point his finger upwards and look upwards and say, Ashhadu la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, so on and so forth. And then you have many statements from the Imams of the Salaf. So for example, Al-Imam Al-Awza'i, and he died in 157 after the Hijrah, meaning he was from the Tabi'een or the Atba'at Tabi'een. He said, Kunna, we, والتابعون, and the rest of the tabi'een, i.e. the rest of the first 100 years of the scholars of the Muslims, نقول, we used to say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فَوْقَ عَرْشِهِ, that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is above the throne, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِمَا وَرَدَتْ بِهِ السُنَّةِ مِنْ صِفَاتِهِ, and we used to believe everything which is in the sunnah regarding his sifat. And also, Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimullah, and this statement of his, it has been narrated by the great Hanafi scholar, Al-Imam Abu al-Izz al-Hanafi, in Sharh al-Tahawiyyah. Al-Tahawiyyah is a text of Aqidah. It was written by Al-Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi. And he mentions regarding Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimullah, that one day Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, he was asked regarding a person who says, لا أعرف ربي في السماء أم في الأرض. He says, I don't know whether my Lord is in the above the heavens or he is in the earth. So we have one person who says that I believe Allah is everywhere. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa wasn't asked about this person. He was asked about a person who says, I don't know. I'm not going to say that Allah is above the throne, and neither am I going to say Allah is everywhere in the earth. What do you say regarding this person? And Al-Imam Abu Hanifa replied, لَقَدْ كَفَرْ, that this person, he has disbelieved. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ, because Allah says, الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَى الْأَرْشِ اسْتَوَى, Allah tells you the most merciful rose above the throne. And you come along and you say, I'm not going to say whether Allah is above the throne or he is everywhere. So Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimullah, he used to consider this al-kufr. And also, he was asked regarding a person who says, لَا أَدْرِي الْعَرْشُ فِي السَّمَاءَ أَمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, that what about a person who says that I don't know whether the throne is above the heavens or the throne is somewhere on the earth. And also, Al-Imam Abu Hanifa said, هُوَ كَافِرٌ, that this person is also a disbeliever. This, of course, it doesn't mean that those people who say Allah is everywhere, or they have a doubt, that we say that they're kuffar. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, he mentioned that this person is a disbeliever to show the severity of this statement. He wanted to rebuke this statement. Not that we make takfir on every individual who says that, or who has a doubt in his mind regarding where is Allah. Because nowadays, at the time of the Salaf, it was different. All of the Salaf, they used to say that Allah is above the heavens. And therefore, if anybody came and said opposite to that, it was strange for a person to say this. But now, it's the opposite. There's jahl, there's a lack of education, people are given doubts by other people. So our job is that we teach people the aqidah, we teach them with wisdom, and as for making takfir and calling people kufar, then this isn't for us. We'll suffice there. Bi-idhnillah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.